Intervju Radija Študent.
Lepo pozdravljene v Ura intervjuju. Današnji pogovor bo prvi v sklopu dveh, ki bosta naslavljala vprašanje študentskega življenja in obstoja v vojni coni. Tematika današnjega intervjuja bo Ukrajina, naslednjem pa bomo govorile študentkami in študenti Zahodnega brega v Palestini. Z nami pozdravljam tri ukrajinske študentke, Selino, Olesjo in Sofijo. Lepo pozdravljene. Bravo. Tako, mogoče za začetek. For starters, we're going to mix English and Slovene a little bit because Selina here has been studying in Slovenia for quite some time, so she said that she would be more comfortable speaking in Slovene than English, and then Olesja and Sofia are more comfortable with English, so you're going to be hearing English and Slovene intermixed in this interview. Maybe for starters, a bit of an introduction. Where do you just your name and how old are you, which subjects are you studying, where do you study, for how long, things like that.
Živjo, moje ime je Selina, študiram na fakulteti za družbene vede, študiram komunikologijo, medijske in komunikacijske študije, stara pa sem 22 let.
Hi, nice to meet you all. I'm Olesja and I'm 21. I'm the fifth year student of Lviv State University of Life Safety, and right now I'm doing my master's degree. My department is philology and translation. Yeah, so I'm studying English as well.
Yes, hi all. My name is Sofia. I'm also 21 and I'm also studying English at Lviv State University of Life Safety. It's our department also in English. Yes, and it is like philology studies. So yeah, I'm also at my fifth year and it's my master's degree.
Nice, thank you. Okay, so we have great luck today to have you here with us, right? Okay, Selina, you study here, so you're practically a local already. But the two of you guys came here for an event. Could you tell us what is it? How does that look like, right? What is the goal? Things like that.
It is like the conference, and we are here to share our experiences about the war in Ukraine, about the, for example, development of the science literature. Especially here we came with a big team, I can say, and we all are from different regions of Ukraine and from different departments. We are studying different fields, and we all want to share how the war influenced on our fields that we are studying now.
Wonderful. And this is also going to be the topic of today's interview. So maybe for starters, a bit of a wider question. What would you say was the biggest change that happened with war, with invasion? Like, how did that impact your education generally? We're going to get more specific later on.
So actually, I can say that all life has changed, because it seems to me that we completely, we think completely differently than we were thinking previously. And our mindsets are different now, and it's like this.
Yeah, we just started to new things about the war. So it's when the sirens are here, we just are afraid of them, because it was like in the beginning, but now when you like hear the sirens, it's like some common stuff. Yes, at the beginning of the war, we just was afraid of them, but that it is our common life. And yeah, now it's okay for us, because we need to get used to them.
Jaz pa lahko rečem, da moj študij mi je pomagal pri razumevanju, kako mediji frejmejo novice, zgodbe. Pomaga mi razumeti, kako so novice napisani, na kakšen način deluje. Opazila sem tudi, kako na začetku je bil ogromen porast teh novic, kako so vsi govorili o Ukrajini. Trenutno pa vidim, kako se zmanjšajo te novice, količina, diskurzi, diskusija o Ukrajini, tako da me veseli, da lahko danes pregovorimo malo o Ukrajini, o vojni in spet malo naraščamo ta diskurs.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so the discourse in media has been, you know, like very diverse on one hand. So my question would maybe be, you know, there's this discourse saying, okay, since the war in Ukraine started in 2022, right, with the invasion of Russia. But then there's other people saying, no, but the war has been going on for a long time for Ukraine, right, since 2014, since the annexation of Crimea. How do you feel about that? Has your life changed in 2014 already? Or, like, was the invasion the one that truly changed it, you know, and you thought to yourself, oh, shit, you know, I'm living in a war zone now. Which one was the more, you know, I'm guessing, but, like, was 2014 also impactful in any way like that?
Yeah, actually, at that moment, it wasn't, like, a big impact because I was, like, in the 5th year of my studies in school. Yes, and it was, yeah, really, it wasn't a big deal for me. But there was a Maidan in that year, and all our lecturers and our colleagues, maybe, or some friends, they were there. Just because the Maidan started because we wanted to be in EU. Yes, and I didn't understand that kind of topic because I don't know what is the EU. I wasn't abroad there, so yeah. For me, it wasn't a big impact that year, but in 2022, I really realized that it was a big, big invasion, a big war that just started and in 2014.
Okay, maybe the next question. Concretely about the classes, right? I did read that quite a bit of classes were closed down when the war started. Before that, of course, there was COVID as well. So there was a lot of online classes, a lot of closed classes. Has that changed? How much of the classes do you have in person? Like, how many of them are actually with you physically there?
Actually, yeah, as you already said, before the war there was a COVID, and we have already been studying for 2 years maybe online, yeah, at home. So nothing has changed for us. We continued studying at home, but some of the classes were just canceled because of the air raid alarms or something like this, because of the bombings, and we didn't have them. Yeah, but now we have the normal studying at our university, and we have the classes. They are not at home, they are not online, but it's only in our region. I know that in some of the regions of Ukraine, they still study online. They don't have classes, and because of the main reason why is that their universities were damaged, yeah, and they don't have the place to study in, so like this. Yeah.
Okay, and there's probably quite a few safety measures that you take. Like, what are some of the things that have changed? Are there any safety measures when you're going to classes, when you're there? Any, like, routines that you've gotten used to?
Yeah, we have shelters in our university. So when the air alarm just came, and so we just go there, and we are waiting till the end of the warning alarm. Yes, and after that, we just continue our classes.
How often does that happen?
A lot. It can be almost every day, and I can say that more often the air alarms, they are at the time when we start studying, and they can be like 3 hours, and you can imagine that we skip 3 hours of our classes, and then we just spend that time that we had to study, we spend this time in the shelter. So that's a big problem for us.
Yeah, I feel like the acquisition of knowledge is a lot more difficult like that, right? Yeah. Do the professors, like, this might sound like a silly question, but I am genuinely curious, like, do they take that into account? are the exams any easier?
Nope. No, nothing changes in that way. Nope.
Okay. Okay, and then I did also read that you guys have a curfew. How does that impact your social lives? You know, the college experience must be largely different if you're just going to school and then back home and that's it.
Actually, we have the curfew from, in our city, personally, we have it from the midnight till 5 a.m. in the morning. So it doesn't influence our studies, but it can influence our social life, as you said. Yeah, because we can't stay out late. We have to be at home at that time because we can be caught by the police or something like this. And that's not like the joke. Yeah, it can be serious in some way. So yeah, it influences only our social life, yeah, that we could spend some time with our friends or go somewhere interesting, but we can't do it because we don't have the ability to do it. Yeah.
And if the police caught you, what would happen? Would you have to pay a fine or like?
I don't know. I wasn't caught by the police, so maybe there is a fine. I think that yeah, they have some fines for this, but I didn't have such experience. Thanks God. Yeah.
And then the other impact, of course, like you said, you can't necessarily go see things. You can't. You also, like, your options to go abroad are quite limited. To some extent, we're gonna address that in the second part a bit more. We're gonna talk about how this experience of student life is dramatically gendered in Ukraine, right? But yeah, we have Selina here who. You know, you made the choice, you came to Slovenia to study here, and your experience is quite different because of that, probably, right? How do you feel about what's happening in Ukraine? How much are you following the news? How is it impacting your study situation?
Ko se spomnim, vojna se je začela takrat, ko sem bila v tretjem letniku do diplomskega študija in če refleksiram za nazaj, zdaj sploh se ne spomnim, kako sem sedela na predavanjih, kako sem lahko doštudirala do diplomski študij, ker je bilo zelo težko. Hodila sem skozi biti na telefonu, gledati novice, zdaj pa se nekak sama pri sebi to organizirala, pogledam novice zjutraj in zvečer, probam pa se fokusirati na moj magisterski študij in na službo.
You have a job, what do you do?
delam v marketinški agenciji kot asistentka vodje projektov.
Najlepša hvala. Okay, cool. So, what about financial problems? That's another aspect that I feel like might be relevant for the discussion. Financial crisis is hitting Ukraine pretty hard, right? There is international help, but it can only do so much. So I was wondering, what about university fees, living expenses? How has that changed for you?
Truly, just the prices of our studies just are higher. yes, and we didn't have any fees or something like that. We just came to the university, we just signed the paper that we are studying, and we have like the prices, the strict prices that we need to pay for, like for 4 years or like one and a half year. So it's for us just nothing changed, just the higher prices, and that's all.
What about the living expenses? In which city do you live in again?
We live in Lviv. Mm-hmm. Yes. And we live there and we study there, so don't pay for the door, for the flat or something like this, and like living there.
Okay, so you're local. So do you maybe know any of your classmates? Do they have problems with that, or like with the living expenses, or is it mostly okay?
One problem that we definitely have is that on the west of Ukraine, it is like the calmer zone, as you know, and a lot of people moved there, and it is pretty difficult to find the flat. And the prices are higher than they were before the war, because people want to make business in some way, and that's like this, and that's really, really difficult to find the flat. So some people who are from other regions, that's really challenging for them.
Okay, so I think we kind of went over some specifics about the studying situation. We're gonna take a short music break now. You guys chose a song. Could you tell us a bit more? Which song? Why did you pick it? Why do you like it?
Actually, this is pretty cool song, which was written by the phenomenal Ukrainian musician Scriabin, who was fighting for the independence of Ukraine and who was purposely killed because of it. He died in the car accident, but it wasn't like really accident, and he was killed because of his thoughts. Because of his willing to live in an independent country, and that's the person who we all really admire, all Ukrainians really admire him, and we think that this song should be played here right now, because yeah, that's really great.
Часом буває так, що хочеш почути речі, яких ніколи б не знати, і тягне за руку тебе в то місце, де думаєш краще, бо чей не мати. Ти дивишся в кухні на кран і воду, а правда ні звідки не виходить. І дивляться в очі тобі знайомі, а їхні очі твоїм говорять. Спи собі сама, коли біля тебе мене нема. 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 Тебе окидають розуміючим оком, дуже болить, хоча й не нароком. І ти ростеш, старієш, мираєш, а тої правди так і не знаєш. Боїшся її і від неї втікаєш, і в стінах своїх ти одна засинаєш. Спи собі сама, коли біля тебе мене нема. Спи собі сама, коли біля тебе мене нема. Спи собі сама, коли біля тебе мене нема. Спи собі сама, коли біля тебе мене нема.
Drage poslušalke, dragi poslušalci, lepo pozdravljeni nazaj v Ura intervjuju. Danes imamo v studiju tri ukrajinske študentke, ena izmed njih je pri nas že 5 let in študira na FDV-ju, drugi dve pa sta prišli za konferenco z ukrajinskimi študentkami in študenti. Spregovorile smo že nekaj o študentski izkušnji in kako jo torej, vojna spreminja. Zdaj v drugem delu se bomo pa malo posvetile vprašanjem tega, kako je ta izkušnja ospoljena. Namreč v Ukrajini se to kar precej pozna na študijski izkušnji. So, welcome back. We're going to discuss the question of gender when it comes to studies now. Male students are currently exempt from being drafted into the army, but they're not allowed to go abroad, which is also the reason that, you know, we have you guys here today, but none of your male colleagues, right? They couldn't come to the conference that's happening. Do you feel like, do you talk to them? Do you feel like they're scared of being drafted? Is that like something that's prevalent in Ukraine right now?
Actually, I can't say that they are scared of being drafted. They are all just young people who want to live their normal lives and they don't want to sacrifice their life, maybe. Yeah, some of them, they go to the war. They are not drafted, they go there by their willing. But of course, not all of them want to do it, and yes.
So you don't think that they feel like that might change in the future? You don't think that, like, I don't know, the government might change its mind and say, no, you're not exempt anymore, you might be drafted anyways?
As they are the students?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I don't think that it will change because in our country, everybody has the right to get the education. And of course, if they want to study, they can study. But I think that something can change with a second higher education we have like this in Ukraine. When you finish the first education, you get your diploma, and then you can enter the university again and study like for more years, like, and get your another diploma. But I can say that they will definitely change it, and they will not allow guys to take this again, like.
And the decision to study, was that like changed for them? Did you talk to any of them about it? Like, did they choose to go to college to not be drafted?
Yeah, of course, a lot of them. Of course, that's better to go and get some education, but not go to the battlefield when you are not prepared for this. Because if you're young, you don't understand what is the war. You don't know how to live in that conditions. And of course they choose studying. I have a lot of friends who chose it, and some of them are doing their master's degrees now. So yep, we will all be really, really educational people. Yeah, education.
Yeah, you're all going to be very highly educated now.
Yeah.
So many master degrees. Yeah, and I feel like probably the fear of dropping out of college, of failing college, is so much stronger than, right, if you know that the alternative is the battlefield.
Yeah, of course. So now they are having all, like, really, really high marks. they started pretty well to not be, like, dropped out of the college. So, yeah.
And the situation also caused for way more exchange students, right, to happen because students went abroad to escape the situation. Now, Selina, you went before, right, before the invasion happened. You've been here for quite some time. Was that in any way impacted by the relationship between Russia and Ukraine even then, or was it a decision based on something else?
Не, такрат нісім видла, де бо прийшла така війна, коли сам прийшла в Словенію заради неке особне іскушення, ходила сам видла штудірати у Туїні, спознати нові люди і насплошно мати таку іскушню.
Kaj pa zdaj, ko si tukaj? Verjetno je, so določene težave, ki se pojavijo, ko greš študirati tujino, tako ali drugače, ampak verjetno je to precej drastično drugače pa od tega, da potem imaš doma vojno in kako pa to vpliva na stvari?
Takrat, ko sem se odločila za študij, nisem imela toliko strahu, ker sem bila mlada, aktivna in hotela sem samo iti študirati nekje. Pa prav tako je vplivalo, da nisem prišla čist sama, prišla sem s svojim partnerjem, zato sem vedno imela podporo. Zdaj pa vojna se je začela takrat, ko sem bila v tretjem letniku do diplomskega študija in seveda, če pogledam za nazaj, sploh niti ne vem, kako sem dokončala svoj do diplomski študij, ker to je bilo konstantno preverjanje novic, stres tudi med predavanje, ampak nekak sem se organizirala in sebe disciplinirala tako, da pogledam samo zjutraj in zvečer, vmes pa se socializiram, predavam, pridno študiram in delam.
Se kaj povezujete z drugimi študentkami pa študenti iz Ukrajine? Ste si lahko kako podporo tukaj?
Seveda, takrat, ko se spoznamo, itak hodimo na kave, kosilo. Prav tako veliko študentov je prišlo zdaj in nadaljujejo živeti tukaj, ustvarjajo veliko društev, kulturnih, umetnih, so zelo aktivni mladi ljudje. Tudi imamo skupine na Facebooku ali pa se spoznamo prek drugih prijateljev, tako da ja, ustvarjamo stike in se povezujemo.
Wonderful. Okay. So now I suggest we go on to the final two questions. The first one is, how has the war influenced the way you understand your chosen field and your career aspirations? Has it changed in any way? You said you study translations and communications. So has it changed?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. The beginning of the war, as we are studying English philology, yes, and our field is translation. At the beginning of the war, we just started to translating some medical stuff, like about the first aid kit. Yes, we were like volunteers to that, and it's definitely changed our mindset because we were just translating like literature, and now we need to be like more technicians. Yes, so it has a big impact on our studying today.
And you did mention volunteering beforehand as well. What was that about? So,
yeah, about the volunteering job that we were doing. Yeah. So actually, it was like the volunteering job because we were like translating all of this stuff, like some kind of the instructions. Once we were even translating some instruction to some kind of the weapon. I don't know what was it. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, to the medical things, a lot of different things that could be helpful to our soldiers. And yes, it wasn't easy for us because we weren't working in that field before, but we think that we can do everything if we want to help, and we really wanted to help, and now we'll continue if we are needed there again. Yes, so that's the pleasure for us to be helpful for our army and for our soldiers and state.
Kaj pa ti, Selina? Se kako spremenil tvoj pogled na komunikologijo?
Na svojem študiju, na predmetih, moje seminarske so začele biti na teme v Ukrajini, različne politične, kulturološke, medijske. Sem začela več preučevati tudi ukrajinske medije, tako da imam možnost pregovoriti med, če lahko rečem, družboslovno stroko več o Ukrajini.
Najlepša hvala. Maybe for the final question now, what do you think is the role of academic ties in all of this, in addressing the consequences of war? There's been quite a bit of an effort internationally, right, with the academic institutions trying to help to make the situation easier, to kind of make the changes and to offer help to students who might come study abroad because of the war. Do you feel like that has helped in any way? Has it impacted things? Can the academia do something more?
I can say that this is really helpful for the students who can't continue studying at Ukraine, and they can go abroad to study at some other universities that offers such ability to them. And yes, definitely, that's really a good thing, and it's really helpful. And yes, that's like that.
Дякую.
Jaz mislim, da Slovenija zelo veliko pomaga Ukrajincem in tudi univerza zelo veliko pomaga, tako pri adaptaciji, integraciji študentov, vedno se lahko obrneš na referat in ti preusmerijo na kontakt, ki ti je potreben. Prav tako vem, da po začetku vojne študij za Ukrajince je postal brezplačen, tako isto kot za študente Evropske unije in Slovenije, ker prej pa je bil plačen študij.
In s tem smo prišli in prišle do konca današnjega intervjuja. Najlepša hvala vsem trem prisotnim. Thank you so very much for being here, for taking the time. I'm sure all of us learned some new things, first-hand experience about how the war is impacting students in Ukraine and abroad. And yeah, I hope that the situation gets better. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you so much for having us here. It was pretty nice to talk to you. And yes, thank you.
Intervju Radija Študent.